you know, all the best for however you're going to spend in it these next days. We have somewhat changed our order. Mr. Bisguzzo has agreed to permit the Budget Committee to proceed, and I thank you very much for that. And as one other housekeeping matter, if I may, I'm going to propose to do this, I know Mrs. Mack has a statement she wishes to make, and we do all want to hear your statement, but I'm going to ask that the action items on the Budget Committee be put off. This is unusual for me because usually I want them first, but in this particular instance, I'd ask them to be put off to the end of the Budget Committee meeting today. I see our distinguished Vice Chairman is here, so that if I have to leave, the Budget Committee meeting can continue. And also, we are going to proceed to the information item on the FY08 proposed operating capital budget immediately after Mrs. Mack's statement. And just as a final housekeeping, I would like, if possible, to ask my fellow committee members if we could hear the statement by the acting general manager and the chief financial officer uninterrupted, so that we can hear the statement in its entirety. I have asked them to limit their comments if it's possible, but we know this is very important information. I'd like to have it presented uninterrupted unless there's an objection. Mr. Zimmerman?
That's fine with me. I just had a question on the schedule. What is the plan now with regard to the Operations Committee?
The Operations Committee would follow immediately after the Budget Committee.
Okay.
All right. And so, Mrs. Mack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your indulgence. I'd like to take a moment today before we begin our meeting to clarify for the public why today's meeting was delayed until 1 p.m. and why last week's regularly scheduled meetings were postponed. As we all know, Metro experienced a tragedy on November 30 with two Metro employees. Mr. Leslie Cherry and Mr. Matthew Brooks, Jr. were struck by a Yellow Line train. Both employees who were conducting track inspections eventually succumbed to their injuries. The funeral for Mr. Cherry took place last Thursday, requiring postponement of our Budget Committee meeting for December 7th, so that several Metro officials, including myself, Mr. Deegan, and Acting General Manager Jack Wickler could attend the funeral. The Budget Committee meeting that was postponed will now take place today, but it has been delayed because Mr. Matthew Brooks, who succumbed to his injuries after several days in critical condition, was laid to rest earlier today. On behalf of Metro, my fellow board members, Mr. Deegan, Acting General Manager Jack Rukwa, and I attended the service for Mr. Brooks this morning. To anyone who was inconvenienced, are unaware of the changes at Metro's public meeting schedule, I offer our apologies. It was certainly not our intent to cause any disruption to those persons who may have sought to come before us or to attend these meetings. We simply determined that during this time of grief and tragedy for Metro, that Metro's business was secondary to showing our support and offering our prayers for the families of our deceased employees. Finally, I want to thank all of the Metro employees who attended the services for their fallen colleagues, and there were hundreds of employees at both of the services. They have shown tremendous support for the families of Mr. Cherry and Mr. Brooks, also through their financial contributions. Your support and help are critical to the families during this difficult times. I ask that we all continue to keep Mr. Cherry and Mr. Brooks and their families in our thoughts and prayers. And I would ask us all to pause for a moment of silence. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mrs. Mack, for that eloquent statement. I should have said, and I will now say, that I call to order this meeting of the Budget Committee. The date is December the 14th, 2006. I find the presence of a quorum. And we have the minutes to approve. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read? Is there a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. We now proceed to Roman numeral number four, the General Manager's Fiscal 2008 Proposed Operating and Capital Budgets. Mr. Requa.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we've attempted to modify the presentation, and we'll try to move through quickly, but try to give you all the details that we feel are a requirement. Staff is here today to present to you the FY 2008 operating and capital budgets. This is a new budget process. While staff has made recommendations, this budget will be built over the next 6 months with much input from our customers and contributing jurisdictions and the board. As you will hear, we are catching up in many areas of this budget. We have base increases in workmen's compensation, utilities, pension funding. We also have annualized service improvements approved for fiscal year 2007. And of course, we have compensation and inflation increases through FY 2008. What I want to focus on is how the staff is proposing that we jointly solve the issues we face. I know the jurisdictional contribution is always on everyone's mind. We use the Blue Ribbon Commission's recommendation of a 5.3% increase, and we have included the allowable adjustments for annualized service, for new service, and for paratransit increases. However, we still were far from having a balanced budget, so we developed a base budget for the non-operating department functions at a 95% level of this year's budget. In other words, we reduced the all support service functions by 5%, resulting in a savings of $6.2 million. Next, we examined the position vacancy list and cut 34 positions from that list, saving an additional $3.1 million. We also have cut professional and technical services, consultants, and travel to save $1.8 million. We further cut marketing, the entire departmental function, by $2 million, and recognized a compressed natural gas tax credit for total savings of $15.6 million. During my years at WMATA, this budget process has taken the most serious look at administrative functions and has generated the greatest significant cost reductions. We believe more can be done. I've discussed this with John Cato, the incoming general manager, and he strongly agrees that we need to bring and a consultant to review our staffing levels and organizational structure. We have drafted a request for proposal and will come to the board in January for approval to initiate and award the contract. The consultant's recommendations will be presented to the board and incorporated into the proposed budget prior to the final approval of the FY08 budget. We have examined our bus and rail service. Reducing services to our customers is not desired, but we felt the need to evaluate every component of the budget, make our services as cost-effective as possible. Later in the presentation, staff will present more details, but let me address a couple of areas. In September 2007, the most ineffective bus service was eliminated and the savings were reinvested in areas requiring service improvements. For fiscal year 2008, we have dug deeper. The bus routes that do not meet four of the criteria established by the board are listed for elimination without such recommendation of reinvestment. Only this year, service on four holidays was increased to full weekday service. After experiencing the first two holidays, we have seen a minimal 5% increase in ridership on rail over last year's numbers and a 25% increase on bus. Even though we will evaluate the two remaining holidays in January and February, we believe modifications can be made to better align service to the demands, and this will reduce cost. In rail, we are proposing the closure of mezzanines, not stations, where there is little usage on weekends. Again, we will get into the details as the budget process continues. We will continue to track revenues and explore expenditure reductions, but at this time, to balance the budget, we are proposing a fare increase. The proposed fare increase minimizes ridership loss, rewards use of the smart trip, and encourages non-peak ridership and other benefits that we will go over with and deal in detail in this presentation. What impact would this fare policy have on our riders? As you know, this would be the first fare increase in 3 years. It is an average increase of 3.5% per year, or basically the rate of inflation. In non-inflated dollars, it is actually less costly to ride our bus or rail system than it was 5 years ago. As for the capital program, the FY 2008 capital budget is $734 million. The FY 08 The FY 2008 budget includes funding for new buses, rail cars, enhancements and maintenance facilities, and for increasing infrastructural renewal efforts. The proposed six-year capital improvement program is consistent with the approved Metro Matters program, and local contributions are in accordance with the Metro Matters funding agreement. New initiatives are being implemented to improve the capital program, and starting this year, the annual budget book will include detailed project reports for each project in the capital program. This is a part of the effort to improve the reporting on management of the capital budget. To improve transparency, another briefing on the overall capital program will be presented to the board early next year. Additionally, earlier this year, we successfully closed out the FY 05 and 06 capital budgets. We also updated project expenditures for the fiscal year 2007 and beyond, which have not been done since the signing of the agreement in October of 2004 and reported to the board. In summary, we are experiencing a leveling off of rail ridership for the first time in many years. Our workman's compensation reserve is depleted. Our claims rate is well within industry standards, but our recent years' funding of this reserve have been deficient. We have been on a pension contribution holiday for many years as a result of a strong market gains. The recent year downturns are catching up with us, and we are now returning to the norm of providing contributions for pensions. Much has been said, and much more will be, regarding utility deregulation and the increases in cost. We are a major user of electricity. Each of these areas is impacting our costs that we have very little control over. You never hear anyone say that this is a good budget year, and we suggest this is not one either. But I believe we have very good reasons for the multi-pronged approach which balances the budget without unduly burdening our customers or the contributing jurisdictions. Today we begin a six-month budget process. We look forward to working with the board members, the jurisdictional staffs, the Riders Advisory Committee, and our customers in this public process to finalize the major guiding tool for fiscal year 2008. During this process, we will continue weekly evaluations of rail ridership, make every effort to minimize utility cost increase, and work with Mr. Cato in his review of the organization and budget. At the end of the budget presentation today, we will share with you the budget review schedule for the next 6 months to allow us to go over the proposed budget in more detail and to keep you abreast of any changes to the proposed budget. This time, I'll turn to Mr. Woodruff and ask him to run through the budget presentation. Thank you.
Mr. Woodruff?
Sir, thank you. You have before you what we're calling an executive summary. I believe it's the first time this has been done in many years. Hopefully this will be helpful to the board, our customers, and others to give you an overview of what Metro does for the region, as well as what the issues are facing us in the 08 budget. We will have the maybe more familiar, very detailed printout book available prior to the first work session. I'd like you to walk you through the budget presentation. I will not repeat some of the items that Jack just explained, so some of these I may go over rather quickly. We started by looking at the subsidy, the contribution of the contributing jurisdictions. We do have a base increase of 5.3% per the Blue Ribbon Commission. We also have added, as has been past practice, the cost of annualization of service added this year, the cost of operating new rail cars, and increases in the paratransit program, all of which Jack explained. That gives us a proposed subsidy of $499.8 million for fiscal 08. On slide 3, if we just simply took this year's budget and projected it forward, we would have had an expenditure base of $1.221 billion. In order to trim that back and not increase subsidy above this level, we did go into the budget. We did make budget reductions, which I'll talk about in much more detail. That still left us, you see, with a $64.1 million shortfall. And at this point, we are proposing for consideration a fair policy adjustment to close that gap. However, as Mr. Requa mentioned, we also are encouraging the board to bring in an outside firm to look at this organization top to bottom to see if we can identify further reductions to the base before this budget's approved. We have three major elements driving the increase in the budget on the next slide: the service expansion, base adjustments in inflation, and compensation adjustments. And before we made any reductions, this is $116 million, but that will be reduced as we go through. The service expansion listed on the next slide. Again, we have included the living wage procurement, which the board approved, and it was funded for a half a year this fiscal year, so we've added that money. The annualized digitization of the service and the rail cars and paratransit. The base adjustments, Jack talked about these. This is somewhat catch-up where we've been living off of positive performance of the stock market, reserves in the worker comp fund. And you can see that, I believe, on the chart much more clearly. You can see that during 2002 through 2005, we had relatively small contributions to the worker comp third-party liability fund. That's because we had nearly $80 million in reserve in that fund, so the reserve was funding a large portion of that budget. But as we move forward into 2007, this year, 8, and beyond, that claims amount, that budget funding amount, I should say, is going to be up in the $25 to $30 million. That'll be an ongoing cost to the authority. A very similar situation in the pension funds. Given the benefits of our pension funds, all of our funds, it's going to require, and it did require, you see in 95, about 8% of salary. That's a contribution to the pension fund. Because of positive performance in the stock market, we were able to contribute a much smaller percentage for a number of years. But you can see in 06, fiscal 06, we began climbing back up. We're pushing back up towards 7 and 8%, and that's where this will level out given the current benefit structure of the retirement funds. So the first two categories that I've just mentioned are pretty much beyond the control of staff unless the board were to change policy, pension benefits, those types of very major things. On this slide, it's titled Inflation. Under that heading, we've included the compensation increases. The first one, the most costly one, union contract compensation. All of our union contracts are in place. You've approved them. So through 08, we know what those costs are, and you see the value of those. The next item, non-union staff compensation. We're proposed a 5% increase there. I'll show you a slide that shows how we arrived at 5%. Oops, I'm already showing you that slide. That has a value of 6.7. Health insurance, electricity, information technology, that's the operating cost of the technology plan, software licenses, those types of things. Cost increase on compressed natural gas, and then general inflation on all other accounts, supplies, materials, everything else that it takes to operate this authority, we've applied roughly a 3% inflationary factor, and those are the items that account for $69 million, or roughly 70% of the increase in this budget. If you look at the compensation increases, these are, if the contributing jurisdictions have unions, these numbers are only for the non-union compensation increases past 4 years. And you can see that over the total, the increases have ranged from 16.8% to 24.2% for the federal government, which we've also included. And you can see the WMATA increases are 7.5%. So based on that, we are suggesting a 5% increase for the non-union folks. Let me add to that, types of people that are in that category, it's about 1,600 positions, safety officers, bus street supervisors, rail maintenance supervisors, planners, clerical, HR, accountants. It's the people in this building to a large extent. That's who we're talking about when we talk about that group. On the next slide, The first thing that Mr. Requa did was to direct staff to go and develop the, now this is the what we're calling the administrative staff. This is not bus or rail. Again, it's more the people in this building. Was to develop the 08 budget at 95% of the 07 budget, or said conversely, a 5% reduction. The department heads went back and did that, and it results in a savings of $6.2 million. We also looked at vacant positions, again, just for the administrative component. We had about 248 vacant positions. However, we put a 3% lapse factor, turnover factor, so we compute the cost of paying everybody for the coming year, and then we take 3% off, knowing full well that we're going to have vacancies. At any given day, we'll have vacancies in this organization. But we did eliminate an additional 34 positions. We reduced our professional and technical consulting, meaning and travel account, professional and technical, by about 10%, travel by 25%, although that's a relatively small number, 400,000 for the year. Again, we recognize the CNG tax credit, and we reduced the marketing effort by $2 million. However, that still leaves about 59 positions and $10 million in the marketing effort. And as has been mentioned before, we are proposing further study of the base in hopes of reducing that additionally as we go through the process. We turn to service levels. Jack explained the logic we used. If it didn't meet four of the five criteria, we're proposing reducing or eliminating the service. And you can see that would be $7.1 million in the bus side, $6.5 million on the rail side. These numbers are net of revenue. In other words, we've taken into account that obviously there'll be some revenue reductions. The $13.6 million is roughly 1.8% of the amount of money that this authority spends on providing these services. So it's a rather significant number. It's 1.8% of total service or value of service if you look at it that way. The next slide shows you more specifics on the bus side, which routes tend to be the least efficient using those criteria, what they are and where they are. The criteria are outlined for you here. I would just call your attention to one, the subsidy per passenger. You see the average of all routes, all bus routes, including these that we're proposing to reduce or eliminate. The subsidy is $1.83, but these particular routes range from $5 plus to $12 plus in the subsidy. That's just one of the factors that was considered. The next slide. This action was simply to reduce cost, and that's proposing to reduce the number of backup buses from 25 to 13. However, we feel that with the number of buses that the board has funded in recent years, the fact that the age of the bus fleet has been reduced from an average of 10 to 7 years, there certainly is much greater reliability of the bus fleet because of that. The four holidays that this year we were providing regular day service, analyzing the first two holidays, we didn't have the demand we thought, although it was sufficient to kind of come up with a middle of the road proposal. So this would not take us back to holiday service, nor would it keep us at regular weekday service. It's in between. On the rail side, We would propose to substitute new cars for out-of-service cars. This is simply a measure to save funding in the 08 budget. The weekend service would begin at 8, not 7. We would close certain entrances at some stations to reduce cost during the weekends. And again, the four holidays. Actually, on the rail side, we saw a very minimal increase, about 5%. So the proposal there is to go back to holiday service, and that would mean no parking charge on those days. So to summarize the actions that were taken to bring this budget to you, we did take management actions to reduce the base by over $29 million. That includes the reductions to the base as well as the proposed service reductions or eliminations. We are anticipating that in this year's budget, the 07 budget, because of the worker comp, the utilities, the pension costs, we are probably going to spend the budgeted reserve. You have a policy of maintaining a 1% reserve in the 1% of expenditures in the operating fund. We're making the assumption that will be spent this year, and in which case we have to replenish it next year. If we don't spend it this year, don't have to replenish it next year, and of course we're going to keep you posted on that as we do our quarterly updates. The other item is the organizational review. That's an estimate of how much money it would cost to have someone come in and look at this organization with a goal towards reducing our expenditures. On the revenue side, we have been to the board, I guess, several times now, telling you that the rail ridership, although it's not decreasing from prior years, it's certainly not increasing at the rate we anticipated in the budget. Basically, we thought around 4% based on two prior years of 6% per year increase. Prior to that, 2.5% to 3%. So when we did 07, we thought, well, moderate that down to about 4%. Right now, it's less than 1%. And Ray Feldman is heading a team to look at that to figure out what should we do to try to bring that back up. So we did reduce the revenue base, and then we applied a 2% growth factor to the rail revenue in 08. Hopefully, that is a very conservative projection. We'll continue to monitor that. The bus ridership is actually right on target and meeting the budget expectations. Scott Kubley will give you our fair policy principles, and we have a work session scheduled, I believe, January 11th to go through this in great detail. So today we'll just give you conceptually what we considered as this was put together.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. Before we got started looking at specific amounts for the fare increase, we decided that we wanted to take a strategic look at fares. And so we developed a set of guiding principles that would inform any fare policy recommendations that we made to the board. The first one was to maximize the number of transit trips that we carry for each dollar of operating assistance that you all send to us. That's essentially maximizing the return on the investment that each jurisdiction makes. The second principle is to maximize the use of existing capacity, and that is basically encouraging people to travel in the reverse commute, encouraging people to travel in the off-peaks when we can add riders with no marginal cost. The third principle is to collect revenue in the most cost-effective manner possible, and that is to encourage people to use Smart Trip and shift people away from cash. And finally, and probably most critically, is to maintain jurisdictional and social equity. So based on those principles, staff is recommending what we're calling a targeted approach to fare policy. We've identified three major benefits to the targeted approach. The first is that it minimizes the impact of the fare increase on our most price-sensitive markets. This includes low-income riders, but it also includes markets where we face stronger competition, such as the reverse commute market or the off-peak market. Second, the policy will encourage people to use Smart Trip, which minimizes the impact of the fare increase on our regular riders, and will improve operations. As you know, people don't have to plug dollar bills into the fare boxes; they can, you know, board the bus a little quicker. And finally, the staff proposal will take advantage of better revenue collection techniques and lower some operating costs. And in a sense, every penny that we save in that way is a smaller fare increase that we have to pass on to our customers. So that's a high-level description of the fare increase. As Chuck mentioned, we'll get back to you and your staff with details over the next month or so.
Mr. Chairman, that completes our...
There's just a little bit more, if I could just have just a couple more minutes. That would bring us to page 27 or on the slides. We have some additional options here. These are not recommended options. It just gives you a feel if we were, and these are not included in this budget proposal, if we were to look further at service reductions to help balance the budget, this just gives you a flavor of things that might have to be considered on page 27, 8, 9 through 30.
Mr. Chairman, I assume there's an error in the second bullet. Reduce the increase.
Increase headways.
Page 27, your second bullet there. Page
27. Increase headways, yes, right. Thank you. But as I said, none of these are included in this budget proposal. It's just to give you some idea of what might be considered. If we could go to page 31, this is looking ahead a little bit. We're working with our auditors, our external auditors. This has come up at the board several times, the deferred revenue issue. We do have deferred revenue, which means that Fair Media has been purchased. We have the money. It has not all been redeemed, and some of it never will be. So we certainly can look at that policy and probably be a little less conservative, which would generate additional revenue. We'll come back to you with a proposal, a policy on that prior to your adoption of this budget. The organizational restructuring we've talked about seven times. There's other items that are on the horizon, some of which you have seen. The very last one I would point out, the fare equipment modifications. This is our vending equipment for the new $5 bill and the $1 coin. Those will require rather costly modifications that we're going to have to perform. We don't have a precise, that's an estimate, that $12 million. We'll keep you posted on that. In building this budget, we questioned, how do we come up with some of these numbers? And staff plans to come back to the board with a proposal on fair policy, not only for 2008, which we have done, but if the board is interested, a multi-year fair policy that would be indexed against some performance measures and amount of revenue you'd like to collect. That's totally a policy decision by the board. The service performance policy, meaning the criteria that we talked about for bus routes, we have that to add bus routes. The board hasn't really adopted it to delete service. We've used it, but we might consider a policy there. As was mentioned earlier, the subsidy, we build that based on the Blue Ribbon Commission, which was actually a creation of COG. My understanding is this board doesn't have a policy, nor did they officially adopt that. Another thing we might consider, the claims reserve and our worker comp fund. Right now, we're in violation of that reserve. As I mentioned, the reserve has been spent down. We're going to come back to you with a proposal to change that policy and, of course, to bring the funding in line with that. And the non-union compensation policy, I understand in prior years, it used to be an average of the contributing jurisdictions. We went to pay for performance. It would be good to have some guidance there. And the deferred revenue policy I just mentioned to you. Very quickly, the capital budget.
No, and Mr. Woodruff, let's pause on the operations.
Okay.
Thank you all very much for this very useful report. Before I turn to my colleagues, I have a statement that I would like to make as a member of the board from the District of Columbia. As I've stated on various occasions, I will be unable to support any fare increase or any change in the fare policy that results in a fare increase until I am satisfied that we have, as a board, done all we could to ensure that every possible step was taken to address the shortfall by other means. Assuming adoption of the staff proposed reductions, the remaining shortfall, and I think this is a key number for us all, is $64.1 million. My review of the information provided by the CFO suggests to me that we can take steps to avoid fare increases. Please note that I have consulted with the CFO and his office on the source of the numbers that I'm about to share. I would like to ask the CFO to review carefully these and other ideas and advise the board at a future point in time on whether we should take these actions and, in some cases, to what extent should we take these actions. Finally, as a member of this board who has a vote also on the question of increased jurisdictional subsidies, we should also consider that. I am open to considering the terms under which the District of Columbia budget will provide an increased level of support to Metro Ramada. This would be particularly relevant if we made cuts sufficient to dramatically narrow the shortfall that we now confront. Let me just briefly lay out some of the sources of possible solutions. First, we could cut the administration budget not at the 5% level, which is being suggested, but at 10%, and that would produce a $6 million savings. We could eliminate some percentage of vacant yet funded administration positions in the FY08 budget. In the proposed budget, the staff proposed budget for FY08, there are about 240 funded vacant positions in administration with a cost of $17 million. We could consider eliminating non-union pay increases for FY08. That would produce a savings of $6.7 million. We could look seriously at our consulting budgets. Presently, there is still, even after a 10% cut, there's still $15 million in consulting fees in the administration budget. A further 10% cut would provide $1.5 million. We could forego a $12 million deposit into reserves for FY08. It is obviously prudent to build up reserves. The District of Columbia has an enormous reserve. I'm very familiar with reserves. We have in excess of $1 billion in cash in the District of Columbia. I know that is sound policy. But interestingly enough, this is a very recent policy at Metro Ramada. It is only about 3 years old. And we could use the $12 million that otherwise would be committed to reserves in this budget. We need to review also the 200 jobs in this agency which pay in excess of $100,000 as a base salary. And I know that was part of what might be contemplated as a structural review with the new general manager. There's also $10.6 million in the budget for inflation, for a 3% inflation. I think we need to carefully review that set of assumptions. And finally, we still have at this agency, despite very significant cuts in recent history, we still have 60 take-home automobiles. If we were to eliminate the take-home automobiles, there would be a very slight savings in the short term. But in the long term, of course, we would avoid the cost of having to buy more automobiles, which staff are using. We would have to, of course, reimburse the staff for the mileage. These are just some of the ideas. I'm sure there are other ideas, which I think this board needs to seriously consider at this point. I have to conclude by saying, I want to conclude by saying that as one member of this board, I am uneasy about how this debate is presently been constructed, because it appears as though, to the casual observer, and believe you me, I have heard from a fair number of them, that we are on a speeding train to fare hikes. And the impression has been given, and the impression has not only been given by the media, but it's been given by information that's been provided by the staff. The impression has clearly been given that this is an inevitable thing that is going to occur, that this is an inevitable consequence of this budget shortfall. I, as one member of this board, I think we need to pause. We need to look carefully at all of our figures. I think I commend the acting general manager and his staff for you know, really a lot of very fine work in presenting this to us. But I think we need to pause and say, have we done all the cutting? Have we found all the reductions? Have we found all the new revenue we need to find in order to not have fare hikes or fare policy changes that result in fare hikes in FY08?
Mr. Chairman.
I would like to, I have copies of this statement, which I'd like to pass out to the members of the board. And if I may ask staff to, if you could produce it to the press. So that is a statement that I wish to make. Mr. Linton.
Mr. Chairman, unlike you, I didn't come to the meeting today with a prepared remark, but let me say, quite frankly, there has been a lot of open discussions within the media that would suggest that the presentation that's been provided today is a go-forward budget. Let me be real clear, it is not. What staff has done is analyze for the board fairly clearly where we stand, what issues we're confronted with, and several options that could be pursued. So any discussions about fare increases, service reductions, all of that which has been portrayed around the region is inaccurate. Until the board and the jurisdictions examine what's been provided, there is no go-forward budget as of yet. So I think, as the gentleman suggested, let's take a deep breath and step back. All the alarms that are going off around the region, let's turn them off. And once again, too, I like to thank the staff for the presentation and the analysis, but clearly, we as a board and the jurisdictions will have to examine what's been provided. We've gone through a number of elections. There have been changes in administrations. Those administrations also would like to have an opportunity to have their stamp on what's going forward. So I think there is a lot here to be considered before we start concluding that this transit authority or this board has reached any conclusion. And I think some of the gentleman's statements that Mr. Graham are things that obviously we need to look at. We've heard from Riders Advisory Committee. We've heard from other ridership groups as well with suggestions. So we think that with all of that, we'll have an opportunity to deliberate and examine what's best for the ridership and for the region.
If I may, Mr. Zimmerman, who else? I just want to get an order of speaking, if I may. You're next, Mr. Zimmerman. Who else would like to speak? Mr. Kaufman? Mr. Deegan. So it's Mr. Zimmerman, Mr. Kaufman, Mr. Deegan. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess we've heard from the viewpoint from the district, viewpoint from Maryland. I'll give you the first one from our side of the river. Obviously, you'll hear others. I would like to join the comments of both Mr. Linton and Mr. Graham. First on the main point,
that no one should join, could draw the conclusion that many may have, understandably, given the nature of the way this has been reported, that there has already been a conclusion made about where this ends. This is the beginning of a conversation about the budget, just the beginning, not the end. I also agree very much with you, Mr. Chairman, that before anyone would come to a conclusion that fares are going to change, we need to have a very exhaustive look at all options before the authority in terms of what we're going to do with this budget. And we've only started that. We have not by any means made an exhaustive look yet. I think all the things that you mentioned are good to pursue. I'd have questions about all of them, but those are good things that should be on the list. I want to know that we've been through all of those exhaustively before I would draw any conclusions about a fare increase. In general, I would say my view is a fare increase should be the next to last thing we consider. The last thing we consider, in my view, should be reductions in the service levels for rail and bus and paratransit. This region needs more public transportation, not less, to get people where they're going, to deal with our air quality problems, frankly, to be able to fuel the economic engine of this region. Public transportation is part of the solution, and it would be very foolish to begin going in the other direction based on what are frankly small fluctuations, because that's what happens. We get jerked around by little changes in ridership. I mean, if ridership is going up slightly less fast than it was going before, that should not really cause a fiscal crisis. The fact that we're having such a conversation is an indication of how poor the fiscal system is that is set up to support this needed part of our economic infrastructure in this region. And so, you know, the last thing I want to do is endorse anything that reduces the level of a needed service. And the last thing I want to do is mess around with the price structure. We need to look at all the things that are short of that first. And so while I'm looking forward to looking at all the things that are before us that staff have presented, you know, I am struck by a few things. The chairman cited a few things that are worthy of examination. But when I already see talk about inefficient bus routes, I have a lot of questions about that. Frankly, I don't think there's a lot of basis for our criteria. I mean, they're basically there so that we have some. You know, everybody wants to have some standards, so we have some. It isn't clear to me how they're connected to anything, any real measure of the efficiency. You could change the number one way or another and make arguments for getting rid of other lines or not getting rid of some lines. And we need a more rational way to look at this. At this point in our region, what we need is a way to provide more bus service in this region, not less. And if we have some lines that we think are less efficient, then we ought to be turning that into more efficient service elsewhere. It shouldn't be one of the first places we're looking to close a budget gap. I'd rather start with things that don't affect the service we're providing out there, including the kinds of things that the chairman put on his list. And, you know, let's work through those first before we start messing around with the service and perhaps damaging something that, in fact, has been one of the success stories in recent years in this region. It may not always sound that way when you read the newspapers, but frankly, public transportation has been a success story over the last decade as traffic has gotten worse in this region, as we've had more difficulties in meeting increasingly tight air quality standards. The fact that a greater number than ever of people in this region are using public transportation is one of the things that's making it work. Let's not screw it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Kaufman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to begin by commending your statement. It's the start of a vital dialogue. And also like to commend staff for beginning this process significantly earlier this fiscal year than we've ever done it before. I'm kind of reminded of a quote by Winston Churchill, at least attributed to him, in the height of the Battle of Britain. He's in his bunker, and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we've run out of money. Now we'll have to think." So I would also ask that as we, this budget committee approaches the budget, instead of the usual approach, which is this kind of department-by-department review with pictures of speed swings and electrical boxes and things most of us don't know about, Charlie might, but most of us don't, that instead we do this on a policy basis. You know, this January 11th start looking at fair policy. Frankly, even if we were sitting in the black, that's something that's overdue. I know that Mr. Tangerlini began a review process with the JCC. I don't know where it went, but we need to resuscitate it and make sure that this board's engaged, as well as our Riders Advisory Council. We also need to look at compensation and staffing policy. Again, trying to make some long-term, broader views of where we're going. This agency has long been a construction agency. I want to keep that component viable, but right now we're not building much. What do we do there, for one area? Marketing and non-passenger revenue policy. We've taken some baby steps there. Maybe it's the time to take the plunge. Issues of customer service. Again, I agree with Mr. Zimmerman here, is that the bottom line is we have to be able to preserve the service we have, and we have to position ourselves for growth rather than cutting that back. At the detail level, I noticed the proposed buses that are being cut are hitting painfully close to home. Most all of them are in Fairfax. Also, though, I'd note that those are all local buses. They're not regional buses. So it's kind of a choice for Fairfax. Do you pay for it here or do you pay for it at home? That doesn't do much for our overall budget. I also will, at the appropriate time later on, question the underlying assumption that bus riders are poor and rail riders are rich, but that's a perennial favorite we always have. But again, this is a good start, Mr. Graham, and I would just ask for your support and support of my colleagues that we take some hard policy reviews instead of the normal agency by agency peak.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kaufman. Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kaufman mentioned a number of things I wanted to mention, but you know, obviously we have a lot of hard work for us in the next 6 months, and I think this board can get down to it and solve this problem, whether it ends up with a fare increase or not. But one thing I wanted to ask was particularly the non-union compensation policy. Do we have a compensation policy here at the authority?
No, we don't. One time we did. It was an average of the jurisdictions. I think Mr. Woodruff mentioned after that time we went to pay performance, and the pay performance was a percentage that was applied in the approved in the budget, and that's what the chart showed over the last 4 years.
I would suggest that that's something the board should consider as a compensation policy, and maybe part of that study you want to do could be part of that, and you know, then we can look at pay plans then. But you don't want to have a compression here where all your supervisors are making less than your union people, and I think that's what we're running across in a lot of areas. And you want to pay people for what they're worth. So I think by having a policy that way, that'll eliminate any future problems we might have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look forward to working with you.
Further discussion, Mrs. Mack.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. I agree with much of what has been said. But I do want to weigh in on an issue that was raised by Mr. Zimmerman and also with Mr. Kaufman regarding the bus service. I do think we ought to look at the bus service standards, and I know we need to have them, but I think we may want to try to find a better way to arrive at those standards as we see them now. I'm not sure they always measure the right factors, and we were at a town hall meeting just last week where we had lots of testimony on bus service that had been cut out last budget season using those factors that we're talking about. And I think after the testimony last week at the town hall meeting, it was clear that some of that service really needed to be restored and that our factors did not measure what we thought we were measuring. So I totally agree that we have to be very careful cutting out bus service. The other factor is that, you know, if we cut it out here at Metro, we are inconveniencing our citizens, and bus service is more vulnerable because it serves a smaller number of citizens rather than hundreds of people crowding onto a train. So I'm going to be looking very, very carefully and thoughtfully at how we make any changes in bus service.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Mack. Unless there is further discussion, I think we should...
Chairman,
Mr. Barry.
Let me add a little bit to this in the menu for your analysis here and to identify with some of the comments I heard that was coming in from Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Kaufman. I think bus fares or fare increases across the board ought to be the last resort. That ought to just be the last thing we do. I think a couple other areas we ought to look at, and I know this is a very delicate one here, but I'm going to put it out there, that is the market rate for these parking spaces. My understanding that we're not getting market rate. I know that there's a chicken and egg that is, if you raise the rates, the market rate, you may discourage folks from parking, therefore from riding the metro, rail, et cetera. But we ought to look at it and see what we can get. There are several proposals I've heard discussed where the authority lease the lots to a company that specializes in this situation. And they'll be the ones to collect the money. If the lots are not full, it's their problem. And it's well, look at that. I think there may be $8, $9, $10 million. I don't know what, Mr. Chairman, in that whole area. And the other area, we're not looking even closer administratively just to see. Now, I'm not talking about the just administrative staff. I'm talking about the whole authority, all these employees. You know, look and see whether or not the technology and other kind of things, we can cut down some administrative costs. It may, might have been looked at before I got here. I don't know, but certainly we ought to look at. There's always room for improvement in that area. And the other area I'd like to agree with Mr. Kaufman, I mean, with Charlie, about the non-union people, we have to be very careful because they're not organized and therefore they don't have a unified voice at not doing equity and parity of some kind with those employees. The other area I was thinking about, well, the D.C. delegation met a couple days ago. We were thinking about the formula, but I think I'll wait till we see what we get out of this before we talk about the formula, because the formula doesn't get us new money. It just means to shift the burden from one jurisdiction to another one. I understand that. And I know how delicate this is. It was the American people.
He's jerking already.
So I'm sensitive to that. But let's look at what we get out of this. In my way of looking at life, if you can get something out, what we need out of this, why go to that over there? So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Well, unless there's further discussion, I just want to say very quickly that whatever has been the message thus far from Metro, I would just state the obvious, which is that the decision on the budget in terms of recommending to the jurisdictions is with this board. And I appreciate the comments that have been made by all of the members who have spoken. And I think that it should be pretty clear that we are at the beginning of a process and that the outcome of that process is by no means determined at this point in time. I would like to ask you, Mr. Requa, to review the specifics that I have mentioned and give us your advice and the advice of the Chief Financial Officer on each and every one of them.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we certainly appreciate.
May I make just one more point about the capital budget?
Well, let me just hear what he has to say.
Okay.
No, we're going to hear the capital budget.
Oh, okay.
We're going to hear the capital budget.
Oh, I didn't understand that.
No, I just wanted to conclude the operating budget.
No, we appreciate the comments by all of the committee members in regards to the recommendations. Again, as I said twice in my statement, this is the beginning of the process.
Good.
We've laid out a number of different alternatives, and what we've heard is that we want to address the workshop, the work sessions with the board from a policy standpoint, and we'll do that. We will evaluate all the recommendations that are submitted by committee members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Requa. And now, without objection, we'll proceed to the presentation of the capital budget.
This begins on page 34 of the package. The capital improvement program, we're anticipating no change in the state or local contributions. We have made some significant progress in the past year in that we've closed out the 05 accounts, the 06 accounts. We've updated and reported on the 07 part of this program, and, of course, what we have here is the 08. One thing that we have talked about before, and this is on page 35, that we will come back to the board in January with a complete capital budget, a real capital budget with these detailed sheets, which will very completely describe the project, the scope, the expenditure categories, the expenditures by year. And critically, we will also include any cost impact on the operating fund that the project, whatever it may be, would generate. And I think that'll help the board see much deeper into the capital program, what's funded, when it anticipates moving forward. Jack has mentioned the next steps, the calendar on page 36. We have built in a special board committee meeting in January, February, March, and April. It says if needed, but we've tried to build in ample time to make sure that we have the opportunity to answer all the board's questions and fully vet all of the proposals that are in this budget. And I won't go through this, but we have provided a great deal of additional information related to the subsidy, the fair policy proposal, and so on in the appendix of this document. Thank you.
That completes our presentation on the FY08 operating and capital budget. I look forward to working with you throughout the next few months to get to our final budget.
Thank you. Mrs. Mack, did you have a comment on the capital budget?
I did. On the capital budget, I just want to say that we do have Metro Matters, and we have a commitment from the jurisdictions for funding our projects through, I think, 2010, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But I want the board, though, to be vigilant on our oversight of the capital budget and capital projects, because as we look at how we spend out the funds that have been projected, we're undergoing changes all the time, and we may have opportunities to take advantage of efficiencies, to take advantage of changes, to recapture some of the dollars in Metro Matters that may not have been spent at the level they were projected, and use them for other issues that have come to our attention in the interim. So I don't think we should just take the capital budget for granted. It's funded. We've listed what is there, and so we'll just go ahead and assume that it's going to be fine. I want us to take the time to be very careful as we look at the specific projects, the spending, and how that's progressing.
Thank you, Mrs. Mack. Mr. Briscuso is next, and then Mr. Linton.
In light of the earlier operating budget, and also because I was fortunate enough recently to attend the Joint Development Committee, I also would like to ask staff to take a look at some creative new ways to monetize some of the values that we sit on, including this building that we're currently meeting in, whether there are opportunities for us to find ways to possibly move to another part of the city and create some economic development. Maybe there are some opportunities for us to do some creative things that will give us some dollars. And I think we actually have a body that we can turn to without having to pay consulting fees and so forth. And I think, especially with this budget in July, now's the time for us to look at every opportunity, every avenue, in a prudent and smart way. And it might include whether this building needs to continue to house so many employees. So I would just add that for this part of the discussion as a request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Briscuso. And now, Mr. Linton.
I think we all have our long list of budgetary options, and maybe we should move to some other parts of the region as well as moving to other parts within the city. So I think we have a lot of things that we can put on the table that we can, in fact, consider. I wanted to go back to Mrs. Mack's statement. I think, and I said earlier, there's been changes in elections. As well in the state of Maryland, in the district, in the Montgomery County. I think looking at Metro Matters through those new glasses, too, will give us a chance to look at, re-examine our commitments and things that we may want to go forward. We had a bus conference recently where there's a lot of discussions about how we can more efficiently utilize our regional bus system and have some priority corridors as well. I think that gives us an opportunity, one, to see whether or not that's reflected well in Metro Matters and whether or not it serves the jurisdictions and the regions well if we spend that in a different way. So I think a more prudent look at the capital budget as was suggested by a chairperson is appropriate and something that we should all take up under consideration.
Further discussion. Very good. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll now return to our agenda, which is the first item of business is the Metro Memorial Initiative. Are you prepared, Mr. Requa, to...
Adrian Hendricks is going to make a presentation.
Again, in the interest of time, I'm keeping in mind that there is still another committee to meet after this. If you could abbreviate your presentation so that we can get the full force of what you have in mind.
I'll try to be very brief. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Obviously, I'm not Brenda Gregory. Brenda, unfortunately, is out of town at a funeral, and so I've been asked to make the presentation, which is about the Metro Memorial Initiative. Very quickly, the background, the board had a resolution, or approved a resolution, 2006-36, which was adopted in July 2006, which established the Metro Memorial Scholarship Fund, approved the creation of a memorial to employees who lost their lives in the line of duty, and thirdly, required staff to report back with present details of the operation of the scholarship fund. That's what we're prepared to do right now. With respect to the scholarship fund itself, very quickly, there are three key components that you should understand, and that's the definitions. Number one, the qualifying employees. Who is qualified? That's an employee who has lost his or her life in the line of duty. Secondly, who are the eligible individuals? There are minor dependents of those employees, which would be a minor dependent under the age of 18 or a minor dependent in college under the age of 23. The administration of the scholarship fund would happen through three entities. One would be the Board of Administrators. That board is comprised of five representatives of each of the one representative from each of the five unions at WMATA, a member of the General Manager's Office, and a representative of the Chief Financial Officer's Office. The benefits branch of the authority would be responsible for providing staff support to that group. And finally, the Community Foundation for the National Capital Area, which is a 501c3 organization, receive the funding, invest it, and be responsible for administrating the funds. Again, back to the resolution which approved the creation of a memorial. That creation has been run by the Board of Administrators, which I previously alluded to. And at this point, we're proposing to establish at the Jackson Graham Building a wall-mounted display with identifying data regarding Metro employees who have died in the line of duty. That would include data such as the name, the years of service, and any other information which is deemed to be appropriate for such a memorial. At the Carmen Turner facility, we would erect or propose erecting a standing memorial near the entrance to the training facility. That's pretty appropriate because we believe, number one, the Carmen Turner facility is the major training center, and secondly, it offers the most visibility to the broadest spectrum of employees here at the authority. Recommended funding for this would be based on the scholarship fund requesting $100,000 from the FY06 operating budget surplus. Additionally, $50,000 would be requested for the memorials from the fiscal year 06 operating budget surplus.
Chair.
Mrs. Mack, does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mrs. Mack?
I move approval.
Mrs. Mack moves approval. Is there a second? There is a second. Discussion.
Well, I'd just like to comment, Ms. Graham. We certainly enthusiastically recommended this proposal for the scholarship for the children and of the members who died in the line of service and for the memorial. And just to point out that Mr. Brooks, who whose funeral services today did leave two minor children who would benefit from the scholarship. So we're very pleased that we are at least helping out our employees in this way. So I move that.
Mr. Kaufman?
The only question I have, Mr. Chairman, is consider the Amtrak memorial they put up to the men and women they've lost over the years. That's at Union Station. That's where the riders can pause and think and perhaps thank folks who gave their lives to provide better service. Our customers seldom come to the Graham Building and have to be very lost to end up at the Turner Building. But I just wonder as we get ideas on what the memorial might look like, how it might fit, maybe always keep open a possible option to look at one of our transfer stations to possibly look at a memorial there, because again, these are folks who were there providing a service for our customers.
I think there's a general positive reaction to that idea. Could staff look into that, Mr. Requa?
Yes, sir.
I think we can take a look as whether it would be an additional one, or maybe not having one at this building, but having it at one of the main transfer sites.
Well, could you come back to us on that issue?
We can, sure.
Okay, whichever is the appropriate response. Further discussion, Mr. Deegan?
Real quickly, was there any thought of having a member of the board, like the chairman, serving on your board of administrators?
I'd ask Jim Davis.
Maybe as an ex officio chairman there.
We hadn't specifically considered that, but we certainly all did not have desired.
I think it would be good that the board chairman serve as a member of that as well, maybe in an ex officio capacity.
Maybe the secretary to the board, not the board.
I think we just need to take that under consideration.
Mr. Linton, do you wish to say something?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we just should take that under consideration before we offer a recommendation here today. Let's take this back to the board and see if that's something that the board thinks serves a need for the board.
Further discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. It is approved with a modification which you are considering, which is the actual location of the memorial. The second action item is the reserve remainder of the fiscal 06 operating budget surplus to operating reserve. Mr. Harcum?
Yes, sir. This would be the previous action was using funds from the FY06 operating budget surplus. This action would take the residual of that $2.7 million and add it to the existing operating reserve fund. As was mentioned in the earlier budget presentation, we anticipate during this fiscal year we will not be able to maintain subsidy at the budgeted level because of the fall off in rail ridership below budget and a number of other reasons. So it's simply a one-time exception to the existing board policy on that reserve.
Is there a motion? So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Mr. Driscusa?
There is discussion. Well, this might sound like a good idea and an easy idea. Governments are large bureaucracies, and I understand this has not been the common practice.
Correct.
My concern is that due to auditors and other restraints, that
yes,
I believe this would cause a problem, and I prefer that we defeat this motion, or that in lieu of this, we continue with the normal procedures, and if there is a shortfall, you make a request to the jurisdiction.
That's fine. I've had a number of similar conversations with jurisdictional staff.
Can I withdraw the motion? Is there objection to me withdrawing the motion? Hearing none, the motion is withdrawn. The final action item is approve Office of Information Technology Strategic and Business Plan. Mr. Burfield.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The members will recall that the board approved the Information Technology Strategic Plan on September the 21st of this year. And we stated we'd be coming back with a business plan to execute against that. That is what this is. It is rounding almost $12 million. Two-thirds of that is infrastructure. It's the engine room. Because of the Information Technology Renewal Program, the new Smart Trip Program, Rail Operation Computer Center Upgrade, the new Bus Integration Program, the size of our network is more than doubled in the past 4 years, and we need modernized virtual infrastructure to be able to manage that correctly. These pieces of equipment typically last about 3 years. They're now virtual, so the actual footprint and the amount of equipment you have is smaller, but it has much more power, less power consumption. You can direct the power to your applications that are running at that time. We need to do that. We also need to maintain our consultant workforce on board, as the strategic plan points out, for about another 2 years to help us adapt and use these new systems in the most optimal way that we can. Mr. Perry referred to, as part of the budget discussion, is one of the things we can do is take greater advantages of technology. That's exactly what we are proposing to do. That's pretty much it. I don't want to said, this is something that's really necessary. We really have to do this in order to fully optimize the investment we've already made. I'll be happy to respond to questions.
Well, let me ask the first question. I need to have my mind. I do recall, I think, how I voted the last time this was before us. However, I see that the action that is requested of us is that we grant program-level approval to initiate an award subject to this board's policies on contract approval, all contracts and modifications in support of these efforts, and that there is no action at this point. These monies have already been appropriated to the tune of nearly $12 million.
These are monies that already exist within the Metro Matters program.
Within the Metro Matters. But have we previously approved this level of support for this program?
Correct. This money has not been specifically directed to technology elements in this fiscal year.
This was brought to the Budget Committee's attention in the first quarter CIP update. It was two meetings ago, and we specifically documented the change in cash flow. The budget's not changing. It's just a matter of what fiscal period the checks are going to be written in. So this is budgeted.
But and thus this amount, $11.785 million, has already been approved by this board and committee?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because obviously, bringing this before us at this particular time, when a number of us are concerned about savings, about achieving whatever savings we can, is maybe advantageous or disadvantageous. But I just want to be clear about the motion, first of all, which is to proceed to spend this money through contract procurement. Am I right?
Correct.
Yes. All of the money?
This is money for Rambin. This is just fiscal 07 for the remainder of this fiscal year, and this is based upon what we believe we will actually spend out the door.
Right, but just listen, I hear what you say. I'm just asking a simple question at this point. Are you proposing, does this motion, if it passes, authorize you to spend $11.785 million?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we know what we're doing.
May I speak to that?
Mrs. Mack.
It was this action that really provoked my request to take a closer look at the Metro-Matters budget, because I had asked that we do this with regard to this $11.7 million, and I did get a briefing on it. I'm satisfied that these funds are in Metro-Matters. However, they were programmed in subsequent fiscal years. So what this request does is move some money around in Metro Matters, brings forward estimates that had been forecasted for 2009, 2008, 2009, and 2010, I guess.
Correct.
It brings that, it moves that money forward and spends it earlier, which then means that other projects are moved around within the budget. I'm concerned that we ought to be aware of that kind of movement, and we ought to be able to see it as it moves. And I did; they did show it to me. I saw it. I'm satisfied that this is an action that I can support, but I don't want to have to ask for that kind of information. I want it to come forward with any request that also comes
through. Well, Mrs. Mack, if I may, just, your statement suggests to me that there are other matters which are going to be moved, if you will, to a later point of the line in order that this move forward. Am I right?
That's correct.
And what are, you've been told what the other matters are?
They showed them to me.
I can give you an example. We had anticipated writing checks for the procurement of buses in the fiscal 06 year. There was a delay in that procurement. The buses have now been delivered. The payments will be made. The actual checks will be written during FY07. So what we've said is there's just a timing adjustment of the cash flow. The budget for the buses didn't change. We bought the same number of buses. They cost the same amount of money as the budget assumed. We just thought the checks would be written last year. They're going to be written this year. With this item, we thought the checks would be written a couple of years from now. Rod's saying he needs the checks to be written today rather than a couple of years from now. But the budget doesn't change.
But that doesn't answer the – I don't think that answers the question that I've asked. Okay. I'm just wondering what gets bumped out of line this year in order for us to write these checks, if you will, sooner than what we had scheduled.
Nothing. What happens in the Metro Matters program is WMATA is allowed to use debt service in any fiscal year to balance its cash flow needs.
Mr. Levin.
Is it?
That doesn't jive with
what I learned.
But maybe further discussion will bring it out.
Let me see whether or not bumped out of line is a more appropriate use, or whether or not we're talking about timing this due to contracting other things that makes expenditures have to be made earlier than originally planned.
That's really all it is. The payments are just being made differently
in
time.
Priorities. It's just that expenditure comes earlier than was assumed in the five-year plan.
Yes, sir.
So it's within the five-year plan. It's within the budgeted items.
Yes,
sir.
It
doesn't change the priorities, but that expenditure has arrived earlier than the other expenditure.
Absolutely
so
correct.
So therefore, the request is to have it spent at this particular time.
Correct.
But it doesn't mean that technology is taking the priority over buses or
correct.
That buses are being dropped off
right.
the list.
Right.
Okay. But it just means that has arrived today. We want to make the expenditure at this point.
That is correct. But if I may amend that, Mr. Chairman, had we not asked the question, we would not have known about this movement forward and backwards. And I don't believe we need to have to ask this. As a matter of fact, I believe this kind of change is covered by a reprogramming or some sort of policy that we already have in place. And I just think when we come forward with a change as significant as this, we need to have all the detail associated with this. Because if the board will recall, when we reviewed the technology, the results of our peer review for technology, and the price tag was put on our requirements, a question was raised by some of the board members about how this was going to be funded. And we said, well, we didn't really know how it was going to be funded, but it was needed, and so we should support the project, and we did. Well, subsequently, staff went back and looked at what was in Metro Matters and determined that there is funding in Metro Matters that can be brought forth to fund this. But what that means is that we are spending now the technology money that's in Metro Matters for the next 2 to 3 years, and we will not then have funding available for technology, additional funding available in Metro Matters. So it just really requires us to look closely and keep track of the movements that are going on there in that six-year program.
And there's no change of scope. We're going
to
accomplish the same amount of work.
There was not a change.
And to your point, we attempted to make this clear in the review that Rick said, the first quarter review. Obviously, we didn't bring enough information. This January review is, in my time here, is going to be the first comprehensive review of the Metro Matters revenue shortfalls, projects over, under, timing changes, scope changes. So we will give you as much detail as necessary that you're comfortable so you can see every change we're suggesting to you. But as Mr. Linton points out, pretty typical of a capital program. Some are going to move more quickly, some less quickly, and, you know, it's as long as we don't change the scope, we're still going to tell you about it, but if we want to change the scope or the funding, we would ask that you affirmatively approve that.
When was this originally scheduled, the spending?
Through
the action that we are apparently changing today.
I think through 2009, but my understanding is when this part of the Metro Matters was built, the technology money was computed and simply mathematically divided by year. With much more knowledge now, 3 years down the road, it can be greatly fine-tuned.
But what the same question is, why are we, if this was scheduled for 09, there's not a sentence in this document to justify moving it to 07. What is the justification?
What has happened is we have made over the last 5 or 6 years between WMATA and our regional partners, we have invested well over $200 million in new technology enhancements. Our requirements for enhancing our infrastructure, a whole new enterprise environment, security, all of these things, consultants to help us learn and manage these new systems. And this is very typical when you do something as big as we are doing right now, for about 2 years after you install, is absolutely necessary in order for us to take maximum advantage of these systems to get the benefits that the company that we laid out when we made this investment in the first place. And the second thing I'd like to point out is quite literally, and this is not an exaggeration, without this consultant help for about the next year and a half, we would have an extremely difficult time maintaining these new systems. These are new and very complex environments. We are training our staff as fast as we can, but there is a limit to how fast you can do this. Need this help.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, particularly going to Mrs. Mack's comments, this is obviously, as I understand, an opportunity created by cash flow timing. Between this meeting and when this comes back to the full board, my question is this. By acting on this, we're saying that this is the priority we most want to advance if we have $12 million sitting there. So I'd like to have staff come to us and say, in looking at those other bumped or not bumped capital items, $12 million could also advance which others? So we clearly know that, you know, I certainly agree that advancing your brain power is key, but I'd like to make certain that we know what else we could be deciding to advance, given this cash flow timing opportunity.
And when is our board meeting?
December 21st.
Next week.
December 21st. So are you able to provide us with that information?
Yes, we already have it.
Do you have
yes.
it now?
We can display it on the screen.
Sure.
We can take a moment. I mean, display
can
it on
put the
screen.
Arrow start up. Paul here. Keith, can you help him find Paul's chart? Do you have it to pass out?
Yeah, we certainly could. I just thought some of it, if the information was.
Some people have to leave.
Well, let's, if you could have that distributed in advance of the meeting, we'd appreciate it.
We'll do that.
That'd be fun. Absolutely.
Okay, we have our. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Is there any debt service implications with this?
Actually, the good news is we're using debt service at a level far below what was ever assumed in the Metro Matters program. So debt service is way under budget.
One of the advantages of attaining.
There is debt service in place. We are issuing, I don't know if Mr. Doring's here or not, I believe commercial paper. $77 million in commercial paper has been issued, so there is some measure of debt service in place, but to date it's been at a level way below what the program assumed. A number of the projects are running behind schedule. Things like the rail car delivery and some of the major systems programs have not happened as fast as was assumed, so we haven't burned through the cash. But did I answer your question?
Is there further discussion? Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. I'd like to be recorded as not voting, or as abstaining, whatever we call it here. Awaiting the additional information. Okay. The only remaining item on our agenda is the report on the monthly financial situation. Is Mr. Harcum going to provide that to us?
Sure.
Can you give us the high points?
The high points, bus ridership is growing at about 2%, rail ridership is growing at about 1%, and after the first quarter of the year, we remain on budget.
Are there questions or discussion concerning the monthly financial report? Okay. Is there further business to come before the committee? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned at 2:30 on December the 14th. Thank you.